This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. 2 years ago, the Missouri law known as the Second Amendment Preservation Act found itself under fire. This law had its supporters. It was passed by the state legislature and signed by the governor. But dozens of police chiefs and counties opposed the law and sued to prevent its implementation, especially its most controversial provision, making all federal gun laws illegal to enforce in Missouri. It was audacious, and a federal judge found that there is a legal problem with a state trying to one-up the federal government. The judge called it an unconstitutional violation and struck it down. But there might be a second act for this act, and so far the sequel is playing out a lot like the original. Kayvon Mansouri is an investigative reporter for the Midwest Newsroom. His latest coverage dives into the new version of the Second Amendment Preservation Act and why it's setting up another showdown between police and Republican lawmakers. Kayvon, welcome back to St. Louis on the Air.
Good afternoon, Elaine.
So before we get to the new Second Amendment Preservation Act, let's talk about the original. The act was passed in 2021. It allowed citizens to sue the police if they believed that enforcement of federal gun laws violated their Second Amendment rights. Now, local police departments have a lot of connections to federal law enforcement. Kayvon, what do we know about what happened to those connections after the Second Amendment Preservation Act passed in 2021?
Yeah, well, a lot of the connections that these law enforcement agencies in the state have with federal governments kind of went away for a while. That was before the legal challenges sort of came up and, you know, these law enforcement, officials kind of got back to work. But at first, you know, when these lawsuits were filed, the ATF actually put in sort of an opinion on the matter, and they noted that their connection and partnerships with law enforcement throughout Missouri had just plummeted after the law went into effect. So basically, you know, that is a, police departments putting information into gun trace databases, task force partnerships that are used to basically solve crimes, things of that nature kind of went away for a while. But with the legal challenges, they kind of came back really quickly. So, you know, it was hard to see exactly the full impact of this law when it first became law, because, you know, it was so quickly sort of put into contention.
Mm-hmm. And by ATF, you're referring to the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms and Explosives, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So the state law was eventually challenged in court. Who was it that brought that challenge, Kayvon, and what was it that they were arguing?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, several challenges, really. Joe Biden's then Department of Justice brought a challenge, basically saying that it violated the Supremacy Clause. St. Louis County and City, as well as Kansas City, or Jackson County, I should say, brought a challenge against the law, as well as actually Arnold, which is just outside of St. Louis. They brought a challenge, basically backed by many of the police chiefs throughout the state, saying that basically they aren't exactly against the law, but they wanted more clarification on what they can and can't do. And eventually that, you know, as there was many challenges, and eventually a district court ruled that the statute was basically unconstitutional because it was calling these federal gun laws null and void in Missouri, mm-hmm. and that would violate the Supremacy Clause, which is unconstitutional. And then that was challenged by the state, and eventually made its way to a appeals court, and a 3-judge panel ruled in favor of that federal judge's decision, and basically told the state that they can't rule these federal laws null and void through legislation. They can't violate the Constitution this way. But they said there's ways that they could change the law to kind of not get around, but sort of make the law a little more doable. And that's kind of what we're seeing now.
Mm-hmm. And we'll get to that in a little bit. I want to go back to 2022. And at that time, Kayvon, you spoke with Blue Springs Police Chief Bob Munns, and he had opposed that original Second Amendment Preservation Act.
I don't want criminals to go free because we're having to reduce what we do, or maybe we're not doing what we do for fear of being sued or violating the statute. It opens up the law enforcement agency and the municipality to potential lawsuit. No department, no police chief wants to be a test case for a lawsuit or a Supreme Court case or a challenge to a legislation.
So, Kayvon, I understand that Chief Munns is now opposing the latest version of the Second Amendment Preservation Act. Are you seeing a similar push to stop this law now, you know, that you did back in 2021? Are we talking about the same people, or is the mix different?
Yeah, that's right. You know, the Casey Star actually interviewed Chief Munns, and he kind of echoed what I had heard from him many years ago, and from other people, the same law enforcement officials are pushing back against this. You have Missouri's, law enforcement legislative council there. They're pushing back. That represents many of the chiefs throughout the state. There are sheriff's group. You know, many chiefs went to the Senate last week to basically say, you know, this is a problematic law that is going to make it really hard for us to do our work. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the same sort of people, the same, police officials, law enforcement officials in the state. We're yet to see the pushback, if there will be pushback from the federal level, because, you know, we're looking at a very different a Trump Department of Justice versus a Joe Biden Department of Justice. I would say that's going to be a very different outlook on Second Amendment sort of revolving laws, but so we're yet to see that. But as of now, we're seeing the same sort of push from the people who are against it in the state. Mm-hmm.
What is it that supporters of the Second Amendment Preservation Act, what are they saying in response at the time, or what did they say back then? Like, how are they arguing for this statute?
What they're basically saying is that that federal gun laws infringe on the Second Amendment, and that Missouri police shouldn't be enforcing these sort of laws. They're saying, whether it be, any sort of like gun database, which Missouri doesn't, interact with. And we're talking about Missouri, which is a very Second Amendment friendly state historically. I mean, if you look back, there are not a ton of gun control laws in the state compared to, different sort of states with, maybe a more, talking about like, California, something like that. Mm-hmm. But, basically what they're saying here is that this is a important thing. And I think one of the main proponents who has been supporting this, who is a sort of someone who is active in the legislature, not a legislator himself, but someone who is sort of pushing this law in Missouri's name is Aaron Doerr, as well as several others. His sort of thing is, if there's another very liberal president, they want to have protections in place so that their guns can't be taken away. When they first pushed this, Joe Biden was in office. The argument was Joe Biden's going to come and take your guns. So Missouri needs to have a law protecting gun owners from them being taken. Mm-hmm. And now the thing that's being parroted now is like, well, when the next Democratic president's in, you need to be protected. So that's kind of what's being pushed here.
Mm-hmm. So the new version of this bill, it comes from Republican Representative Bill Hardwick of Dixon, and he calls it an affirmation of Missouri's commitment to the Second Amendment. And Kayvon, you mentioned, Missouri is a very Second Amendment friendly, gun friendly state. But what is the difference in this version of the act compared to the first one?
Right. So basically what they're doing is taking what the appeals court told them they could do and making a new law based on that. The appeals court that basically said you can't rule federal gun laws null and void. There are ways to do that, not by quite going around it, but not making it a matter of law, maybe mm-hmm. making it a matter of public policy. So this new law, instead of saying, federal gun laws are not enforceable in the state of Missouri, they're saying that it is the policy of Missouri police officers, Missouri law enforcement, to not enforce federal gun laws. So basically they're saying it's not illegal. But it is not the policy, and you would still be liable to a lawsuit for up to $50,000 if you were to, if a law enforcement or a police officer or what have you were to enforce these laws, they would still be liable because it is the policy.
Mm-hmm.
It's different, but very much the same in the eyes of law enforcement.
And so that $50,000, that price tag, I mean, that comes from a citizen suing police.
That's right. In the first iteration, basically a citizen could sue if they felt their Second Amendment rights had been violated. Now it's a matter of policy. You know, if a citizen could bring a lawsuit forward if they felt like a police department was enforcing federal gun laws in Missouri.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've spoken to several police officials around this issue, and one of them is Stephen Lewis, who's the police chief of Ellisville in St. Louis County. Lewis also serves as vice president of the Missouri Law Enforcement Legislative Coalition, and that's an organization made up of police chiefs, prosecutors, and other law enforcement officials who work with lawmakers on police-related bills. Kayvon, Lewis told you that he and the organization oppose the new Second Amendment Preservation Act, and it's for a lot of the same reasons they opposed the first one.
When the initial Second Amendment Preservation Act was proposed, we looked at that bill and we determined that in our interpretation, and more importantly, in the interpretation of most of our legal teams, that it's bad legislation. It's bad legislation for law enforcement in that we believe it restricts law enforcement's ability to assist federal task force partners with the seizure of weapons from bad people. I know they've tried to sugarcoat it. They've tried to talk around it. But basically, our interpretation for the first one, and this extends to the second one, is that it opens up the potential for frivolous litigation and tying police departments and police officers specifically down with defending themselves in almost every case wherein they would seize a firearm while assisting federal partners.
That was Stephen Lewis, who's the police chief of Ellisville, or in Ellisville in St. Louis County. He's the vice president of the Missouri Law Enforcement Legislative Coalition. We're talking today about the Second Amendment Preservation Act, the controversial law which was struck down by a federal court in 2023, is coming up again, and its supporters are now trying to use the act to block the enforcement of federal gun laws. And I'm talking about the proposed law with Kayvon Mansouri, who is an investigative reporter with the Midwest Newsroom. So Kayvon, Lewis himself, in describing himself, said that there's no one who's more pro-Second Amendment than I am. No one is more pro-gun rights than I am. But is there a contradiction there in Lewis's opposing a bill called the Second Amendment Preservation Act, you know, and how he describes himself?
You know, not in Lewis's mind, and I think not in most police officers and police chiefs that I've spoken with, because, you know, as Lewis said, you know, he, as we were talking, he sort of said, you know, police officers, police departments typically lean a little conservative, and most are very pro Second Amendment. So, you know, Lewis is basically saying that this law is, you know, it's he's saying it's not really pro Second Amendment. He's saying being pro Second Amendment is allowing police officers to do their job. Say if a gun was stolen in a crime, then being able to work with the federal government to recover it and get it back to its owner. He sees that as more of a pro Second Amendment. So He's basically saying that, you know, this law is also kind of coming at a time when it's so almost unnecessary. He said, you know, he sort of himself said, like, you know, he got it, you know, the need possibly when Joe Biden was in office, because there was a lot of, you know, 2A sort of, like, you know, a lot of talk about around that sort of stuff, you know, with, you know, whether there was action on that is neither here or there. But he says now, you know, he himself, he was saying Trump is in office. This is a very pro 2A president that we have. And it seems like unnecessary to sort of litigate this again. So in his mind, no.
Mm-hmm. Now, the name of the Second Amendment Preservation Act, it implies that it's preserving something that is at risk, you know, that needs preservation. But critics argue that this danger just doesn't exist and that the federal government isn't coming for your guns. And that's essentially what Ellisville Police Chief Stephen Lewis said.
There's no rampant seizure of firearms from law-abiding citizens. It doesn't exist. You know, they're trying to create an issue that doesn't exist. You want to protect the Second Amendment, protect the gun owners. You want to protect the gun owners? Let law enforcement put your stolen firearm in a federal database so that somebody from another state can identify your weapon if they recover it and return it to you.
Kayvon, is Chief Lewis right here? I mean, are there examples of this?
Not a ton, you know, especially not in Missouri. There are no, you know, for instance, Missouri is not participating in many, you know, database. They don't keep a database of gun owners, things of that nature. Lewis, I can't say, you know, that there are no examples, but I think what Lewis is saying is that in Missouri, this just isn't that big of a problem. And that, you know, it's basically a question of why is this being pushed when it's going to have to be so detrimental to police in his and other chiefs' opinions.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of in other things that you heard from Lewis criticized the legislation for the way it could limit police departments from doing work that could actually keep people safe, like taking stolen guns off the street.
We believe that in and of itself is not only anti-law enforcement, but it's actually anti-Second Amendment. And the reason is we believe that we would be restricted from putting some of these weapons into federal databases that we actually utilize to recover firearms from victims of firearm thefts.
So that is a really strong statement, you know, that a bill called the Second Amendment Preservation Act is actually anti the Second Amendment. I mean, what do you hear in Lewis's choice of words, Kayvon?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's kind of like I was saying, you know, like in Chief Lewis's mind, these federal partnerships. A lot of it, especially with gun trace databases, are ways to actually, you know, aid, you know, gun owners to help them to, you know, if their gun was taken, to try to return it to them, or if it was used in a crime, you know, to solve that crime. So, you know, this is, he doesn't feel as if these, you know, a Second Amendment Preservation Act is going to help with that. If it's going to break up these partnerships, it's going to make it a lot more difficult and probably detrimental in his mind to gun owners and supporters of the Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm. Now, the police officials that you've spoken to, Kayvon, have voiced a lot of concerns, and that includes a scenario where the bill seems to allow just anyone to sue the department for enforcing federal gun laws. I mean, has that actually happened?
No, not that I'm aware of. I have actually looked pretty deeply into, you know, if there were any lawsuits filed while the original Second Amendment Preservation Act was active, what sort of fall off in gun trace database information there was, and I can't find any. And that may be, and this is to Chief Lewis, made this point when we spoke, is that, you know, it was challenged so quickly, it was hard to see the actual, you know, a very, you know, tangible drop off in these things. So, you know, I looked through years of gun trace database, crime reports, things of that nature. And basically the federal databases that track these things are still, they kind of stayed the same numbers. In some cases, they actually went up. You know, so that is sort of saying, you know, these law enforcement agencies that typically participate, we're still putting information in. Now, that kind of harkens back to the ATF report that basically said we've seen a big drop off. It's harder to show where, like, task force breakdowns happened. And it's also really hard to show, you know, like, what police departments were and weren't doing because of SEPA, right? Because, you know, if the police chief, you know, say Chief Lewis is concerned that his officers may have an issue if they were to, like, say, take a violent offender's guns for whatever reason, you know, it's hard to show that that happened. If something isn't happening, it's hard to show that it's not happening. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
Well, something I think, you know, that is worth talking about, given the background that you are sharing, there are still concerns that exist and loom quite large. And Police Chief Stephen Lewis said that negative scenarios is anything but hypothetical.
And I don't care what the opposition says. Here's the problem. They said no lawsuits were filed. Well, that's because, in my estimation and our estimation, that the law wasn't law yet. In other words, it was challenged very quickly. There were enough lawyers that were gathering documents that we don't have to be rocket scientists to know that they were preparing to sue pending the outcome of their of this law and the challenges against it.
So, Kayvon, what Lewis is claiming here, that before the Second Amendment Preservation Act was struck down in 2023, that there were efforts to use it to sue police departments, is that corroborated?
I couldn't say. I think this is something that I would say Lewis and the people involved probably know a little bit more about. But, mm-hmm. In my original reporting, I did hear many times that, people are waiting to, file lawsuits. And that lawsuits were basically just, a few steps away. Mm-hmm. Especially in the first iteration, where this was more of a, if you feel that your Second Amendment rights have been violated, you could file a lawsuit. I think I was speaking with Chief Munns, this is years ago, but he said, there could be people who are already preparing lawsuits, people who are ready to, to take this to court. And these are $50,000 lawsuits, which maybe doesn't sound like a ton of money, but they can stack up. And who's to say, if that sort of became the norm, that could be a huge expense for police departments who are just basically trying to enforce federal gun laws and work with federal partners.
Mm-hmm. What is it that we know about how those lawsuits would work? And what did supporters say, or do they say, about the Second Amendment Preservation Act, that part of it, the lawsuit portion?
Yeah, they basically say it's the best defense for someone who feels like their rights are being violated or feel that police are violating Second Amendment rights to get some accountability. Again, if that were to go into place, what would happen is they could go and file these $50,000 per violation lawsuits against these police departments. So that could look like a whole lot of different things. And because it hasn't really happen, there's not a whole lot of details. And again, that's one of the main complaints that police have about this bill, is that there are not a lot of details about what can and can't happen here, what they can and can't be sued for. Can they be sued for working with federal law enforcement? The bill isn't exactly clear. Some proponents say, yeah, they shouldn't be working with federal law enforcement to begin with, but does that mean they should be sued? It's not clear. And I think that's what Chief Lewis and other members of the coalition are concerned about. There's just a lot of what ifs, mm-hmm. and those what ifs can mean lawsuits.
Yeah, and in our last minute, it's not just Missouri proposing this kind of legislation. You've covered it, Kayvon. A similar bill introduced in Iowa, and there were a lot of the same criticisms at play. Is what we're seeing in other states, indicative of how things might play out here?
Possibly. For instance, in Wyoming, the governor vetoed the bill with sort of the backing of law enforcement. I don't know what that could look like with our new governor. Governor Mike Parsons, our former governor, was very excited to sign this bill. He was a former sheriff himself. It's hard to say. In Iowa and Kansas, where these similar laws got were pushed, they actually ended up kind of dying on the vine, and they didn't end up going anywhere. Kansas, actually, there was a little bit of a little bit of legal fight there. It's hard to say what Governor Kehoe will do with this if it makes it to his desk. There's a lot of what ifs out there.
Mm-hmm. Kayvon Mansouri is an investigative reporter with the Midwest Newsroom. His latest coverage dives into the new version of the Second Amendment Preservation Act. You can find that story at our website. That's stlpr.org. Kayvon, thanks always for making time to talk with us.
Thank you for having me.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.